That's hers.
And I love the sound of that music. Welcome to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer. I'm sitting in for our very own Ross Kaminsky here. And, the last time I was here, it was before the holidays, so I'm wishing all of you listeners a Happy New Year. A little bit belated, but I figure we're still kind of in the beginning, so Happy New Year. Still thinking about those New Year's resolutions. Haven't had time to abjectly fail, so still thinking about it. Still really haven't totally set one, although I'm inclined to say that my New Year's resolution is to be more positive this year. And just to think positive, think that things are going to, go my way, that the winds are going to blow in my direction, that my ship's going to come in, that it's just going to be an absolutely fantastic year. And the first 12 days, they haven't been so bad. So actually, they've been quite good. So it's been pretty easy to stay positive. Hopefully, all of you are also having a positive New Year. I know that there's going to be some folks. Well, the Broncos, their slate of awesome wins has come to an end. So their Happy New Year is officially over. But you know what? There's always this fall. I think they will come back strong. They did well, and I'm quite proud of them. We'll probably talk a little bit about Tebow Mania later on in the show. I had a very interesting article in, I believe it was yesterday's Wall Street Journal, and talk a little bit about that. About the, it's by Michael Medved. It's The Secrets of Tebow Hatred. We might visit that subject with our two most awesome guests. Or if you want to call into the show, we could talk about it as well. 303-696-1971. Give me a ring. Love to have you on the show. And the reason I bring it up, it's interesting because I'm not a football person. I like athletes. I think it's amazing what they have to do to stay fit, to hone their skills and be good at their job. And it seems to me, by all the, the few interviews that I've seen with young Tim Tebow, is that he is a nice guy. He's always giving credit to other people. He gives credit to God. He just seems like a good guy. So why people would hate him is truly beyond me. And why people would sort of be super crazy about him is kind of beyond me too, because I'm not a sports person, so I don't tend to honor and adore sports people, movie stars for that matter. Somebody asked me once, if you were stuck on a desert island and could bring five people with you, who would they be? I picked all members of my family and friends. I just, everybody else wanted to pick like Abe Lincoln or Ronald Reagan or hot movie stars. And hey, they might be interested. But the fact is that the people that I think are most fascinating and most wonderful are those that are around me every day. And that's my family and my friends. So I would have to say it would be kind of fun to meet Rush Limbaugh. And there are a few total hottie TV personalities that I wouldn't mind meeting. But, in general, I'm just not into star worship. And so the fact that people would be super into a sports star or hate a sports star is sort of beyond me. But the fact that somebody would hate what seems to be an incredibly nice guy who works hard and has done, seems to be a great guy is beyond me. Yet there's actually like whole websites devoted to slamming this nice young man. So odd, yes, very odd. Odd and kind of sad why somebody would put together a website for those purposes. But, I guess to each his own. If you have thoughts or comments on that, 303-696-1971. And we've already sort of visited the super sad, that is the idiots that would put together a website just to slam someone. But I thought I'd visit some weird news. We've got some more serious topics to visit later on in the show. But I figure, let's start off with weird. Why not? So I found out that this last week, a Massachusetts man turned over 94 hamsters to a local animal shelter, telling officials he was running out of room in his apartment. 94 hamsters. Maybe he just didn't get that when you put boy hamsters and girl hamsters together, they make more hamsters. So this guy had 94 hamsters. I had a hamster when I was a kid, and you got to keep those cages clean. They get a little bit stinky. And thinking 94 hamsters, not quite as bad as like 94 house cats, but I'm thinking a little stinky. So rodent hoarding. It's weird. It's true. And it happened in Massachusetts. Looking just over the Atlantic to the Middle East in Cairo, a international airport. I've actually been at the Cairo International Airport, so it's a pretty nice airport. But in Cairo, officials confiscated 420 pounds of frozen cow brains on Friday, this last Friday, from three Sudanese travelers who were planning to sell them to Egyptian restaurants. 421 pounds of frozen cow brains. Kind of yucky. But, you know, and, you know, you think about smugglers, you're thinking, I'm usually thinking about, like, drugs or weapons, creepy things like that. Who knew that you could be a smuggler of brains, a brain smuggler? Not exactly a sexy profession. I'm trying to think of, like, the Maltese Falcon. You know, we're smugglers, we've got contraband below deck, and it just happens to be like pounds and pounds of alien brains. I don't know. It's weird, but it's true. And finally, on the weird, the end of the weird list, we have an Indiana man this last week who was accused of auto theft, who also faces charges that he threatened to eat the arresting officers and their entire families and their police dogs. So this 39-year-old, I guess he was arrested for auto theft, resisting law enforcement, intimidation, and operating a vehicle while intoxicated. You know, it's a shame he wasn't in Cairo, because he could have cashed in. If you're really into eating people, dogs, whatever, you know, having 420 pounds of cow brains just might be right up your alley. So anyway, that's the end of weird news. Just to take a sort of step back from the weird to the sad, and I don't mean sad as in weeping sad, but just as in sort of pathetic, I stumbled upon a website this week called Dirty Spending Secrets, and it's dirtyspendingsecrets.com, and found out sort of what Congress is up to. Now, when I say Congress is up to, Congress is up to this stuff with my tax dollars, and having never been one of the 1%, as many members of Congress are, my hard-earned money, you know, I have a hard enough time getting it to stretch to sort of fit the things that I need. I find it pathetic that members of Congress would use my hard-earned money for these following things that I learned from this website. $2.6 million to train Chinese prostitutes to drink more responsibly on the job. Yes, tax dollars used to train Chinese prostitutes on how to drink more responsibly. I don't know, drink better beer, stay away from cheap wine. I'm not quite sure what that entails, but $2.6 million. I just want to say thank you, Congress. Thank you for using my money for that purpose. $146 million used to upgrade federal employees' flights from coach to business class. And as someone who only goes coach, and I use those different kind of websites to get cheap tickets, so I end up doing like three layovers to get to like Oklahoma City, and I always fly coach. I'd like to thank members of Congress. I want to thank those federal agencies. I'd like to thank the president for using my hard-earned tax dollars so that these folks don't have to fly coach like I do and are flying business class. So, you know, thank you. Thank you very much. $3 billion, not million, but billion dollars to put sand on beaches, another awesome use of our tax dollars. And this sanding of beaches, mind you, is not to prevent erosion or save whatever. It gets washed back out to sea, and with it, the $3 billion that we were sort of, we call it a forced investment, a non-voluntary investment of our dollars. And then this is kind of an interesting little thing. So the website asked the question, which of the following were cited as the most wasteful government programs in 2011? $113,000 for a video game preservation center in New York. $550,000 for a documentary about how rock music contributed to the collapse of the Soviet Union. $10 million for a remake of Sesame Street for Pakistan, and $48,000 for a second annual Hawaii Chocolate Festival that promotes Hawaii's chocolate industry. Now, which of these would be the most wasteful? Well, I know for a fact that they're all true. I'm going to say the most wasteful would have to be the $10 million one just because it's the most amount of money. But I would like to say thank you, Congress. Thank you for using my tax dollars for each one of those sort of pathetic and non-productive uses. And I'd like to challenge any member of Congress to tell me where in the Constitution they were authorized to spend these. Anyway, that's the music. We are headed out to a break, but we will be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer sitting in for Ross Kaminsky. Happy to be here on Backbone Radio. And before we went to a break, I was reading off some things that Congress had been up to, spending my hard-earned tax dollars on ridiculous things, and just saying, hey, thanks a lot, Nancy Pelosi. Thanks a lot, Harry Reid. Thanks a lot, President Obama. Thanks a lot, guys. These are really terrific. Next time when I go to work, I'm going to think about you and how a portion of what I do is going to put sand on beaches and help out drinking prostitutes and upgrade flights for federal employees, because that is just awesome. Well, going from the weird to the pathetic to the just strange but kind of cool, there's a new sport on the horizon called Ice Cross, and it is very interesting. So there's a 24-year-old said about his new favorite sport, ice cross downhill. It incorporates all the things I like: hitting people, skating, and fast speeds. So ice cross, developed in, I believe, Minnesota, is kind of a combination of skiing and skating. So there's like a three-story ramp. Skaters jump off this ledge, go skiing down. They hit about 40 miles an hour. They end up very often sort of wiping out, smashing, and it's sort of like if hockey wasn't fast enough, crazy enough, violent enough, you've always got ice cross. So not a sport I'll be taking up, as I am not super graceful on skates, and not big into speed. I mean I love to ski, I love to do these things, but I don't know, dropping three stories on an ice thing with ice skates, not for me. So, very interesting. I wonder at what point Congress will be funding that. So, back kind of looking at some interesting Colorado stuff. A lot of my news clips for this show are from The Economist, so they're more just about the world or the country in general. And then I've got some stuff from the Wall Street Journal, and then I've got a little bit of stuff from the Denver Post, that other paper that I read. But one thing that sort of piqued my interest is that there is Senator Steve King is reintroducing a bill that would ban stone driving, driving while impaired because one has smoked marijuana and is likely probably driving too slow and probably driving to the Circle K to pick up some chips, but that would then be illegal, and it would be, these drivers would face the kinds of consequences that drunken drivers would face. And I think it's kind of interesting that the same bill got shot down last year because certain members of our state house opposed it. They thought that it might snag people who had smoked but weren't impaired. Like, you could smoke marijuana and not be impaired. To me, that seems like, I got to just back up here, but if I go to dinner and I have a glass of wine, or I go to a barbecue and I have a beer, I don't expect to get impaired off of one drink. In fact, I'm just going to expect to enjoy it along with my meal. Now, if you were to smoke weed, if a person were to smoke or do any drugs, they're doing it for the drug effect. And if they don't get high, they're probably going to talk to their dealer and say, what's up with that? I smoked this, I did not get high. It would be the equivalent of if you drank a six pack and didn't get drunk. You're drinking alcohol not for the taste, but for the drug effect. You would expect it to make you drunk. I would say that that is true for drugs, that when people do them, they expect to be impaired. So the idea that people could do drugs and not be impaired seems kind of odd to me. But I thought it was interesting is there's a representative or senator, I'm not sure, Carroll said that a zero tolerance level would require medical marijuana patients to pick between their chosen treatment and driving. I think most of us know that medical marijuana is a bit of a farce. And that isn't to say that there isn't a minority of people who do have serious issues, be it diseases or conditions for which marijuana is helpful. I am not denigrating that small percentage. All I'm saying is that when I drive past medical marijuana facilities, I don't see like somebody in a wheelchair. I don't see somebody weakened and skinny from cancer and having some experience with being with somebody who's with cancer. I can spot somebody who, you know, looks like they're under chemo. I just don't see that. I'm not saying they don't go there. It's just that every time I see people in line or walking into the medical marijuana place, it's usually people in their 20s and 30s, you know, pretty healthy looking and looking to get high. And, you know, again, not denigrating those that are genuinely ill. But I'm thinking if you're going to do something to make yourself feel better because you're really ill, and that would be taking a prescription medication that could impair you, you're probably not going to get behind the wheel. I'm just saying at post-surgery, when I've had to take painkillers, I did not, in fact, operate heavy machinery. It said not to on the box. And, you know, so I respected that. I did not drive. I'm thinking that probably should be true for medical marijuana users as well. If you need to get high for whatever reason, you're legitimately ill, you know, get high, feel better, but do it at home. Call a cab. The fact is that if you're going to smoke marijuana, you should not be behind the wheel. And I want to commend State Senator King for going out on a limb and trying to, you know, put an end to what could be a very dangerous thing. And I realize a lot of these drivers are driving under the speed limit, but it, you know, driving by while impaired does put the rest of us in jeopardy. And I would hate to get into an accident, get hurt, then have to get medical marijuana license, and then I'd be taking a cab. It just would be bad news. So, you know, don't get high and drive is what it really comes down to. So in the next segment, we are going to take a break from all this fabulous, weird and wacky news and actually talk to some amazing people. In the next segment, we will be talking with Jay Ambrose, and I'll give a suitable introduction when he comes on. But it's safe to say that it is going to be a terrific interview. Jay is somebody I've known for quite some time. I find him to be brilliant and interesting and a good writer and a good speaker. So he will be up next. And in the meanwhile, I think I will just grab or, you know, shuffle into the stack of stuck with the paper noises there. Reach into my stack of stuff to use Rush's probably patented little saying, but I did find this kind of interesting. This is, I believe, from the Wall Street Journal, although it could be from the Denver Post, but I'm thinking probably not, that it talks about how Americans are becoming more polarized, and some 40% of Americans now call themselves conservative, compared with 35% who say they are moderates, and 21% who claim the liberal mantle. And that for moderates, that's a decline of 8%. So some of those undoubtedly, had an epiphany, realized what the truth was and became conservative. Possibly a few, I don't know, got a medical marijuana license and are now on the liberal side. So anything is possible. But I think polarization is a good thing because I think it shows that people are thinking and they're taking a stand. Well, with that, we are going to a break. And when we come back, we will be talking to Jay Ambrose.